listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, getting fat and greasy on buffalo wings. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, finishing out his redemption arc. Sam Darnold, Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks. As a Jet fan, part of me feels like I also won.
I appreciate you saying that the Seahawks were the ones, because I'm like, was it Seattle that was playing?
Yeah,
I'm so Seattle bad at football. Seahawks.
I got you, bro. This is my thing to do with you. I got you. I hold your hand through all the sports stuff we talk about.
All the one sports things we talk about.
But I got you. I got you.
It's great. So we did our traditional Tecmo Super Bowl predictions at the start of the season, and then the Super Bowl happened. And obviously, it happened the day that we were doing a recording, so we couldn't actually get towards discussing it until just now. So we're a couple weeks late. But it's good for us to touch base and see how we did and see how the game was for those of you that actually watched it, because I didn't. Because I don't have TV.
It was a good game. Yeah. It was a good game. Depending on your definition of good game, I enjoyed myself quite thoroughly.
Yeah, so the game itself, let's go to the predictions. So the prediction said that the Broncos were going to go up against the Seahawks. And correct. That the Seahawks were going to win. That somehow the Patriots are going to crap the bed in their game before getting to Seahawks, and they weren't even going to make the Super Bowls. Because we do weird predictions. We actually predict three games and not just one. Tecmo was wrong about who was going to make it to the Super Bowl, but they were right about who was going to win it, and although the scores were different, they were actually kind of right about how close the game was going to be.
Yeah, it was very, very strong game by Seattle. And, you know, I love to be proven right. In our version, the person who was making all the difference for Seattle was Zach Charbonnet, who was injured and did not play in this game. He tore his ACL. So I said Kenneth Walker was going to have himself a game. And, you know, when your boy's right, he's right. Kenneth Walker, Super Bowl MVP, by the way. Like, he was everything I was hoping he was going to be during my fantasy football season that he wasn't because of Zach Charbonnet being in the way. So, very exciting stuff.
Yeah, from what I looked at the scores and what everyone was talking about online, because obviously I'm not the football guy, but the game was much different than what people were expecting. They didn't expect Seattle's defense to shut out the Patriots completely, or for the Patriots to kind of hold on their end of the defense at all. Because it was mostly field goals for the first half of the game, which technically you should be able to catch up from, but the Patriots never were able to do so.
Drake May, you know, had an MVP caliber season. Like, I'm glad he didn't win. That's no shade at him. But Drake May had a fantastic season. He was rattled all game long. Seattle, like, the key to this game is you get pressure with four and you get people uncomfortable. And they were getting pressure with their front four. He was not comfortable all game. They were throwing some really unique looks at him on defense as well. And, you know, New England was doing the same thing. They were doing some really weird blitzes to Sam Darnold early on in that game. And he got lucky quite a few times, almost got intercepted on some really interesting throws that he either completed or they were incomplete. But he played a very good game. But the defenses, to your point, really stepped up tremendously throughout both of these games. And that's my kind of football. I was here for it. My wife was bored to tears at times. But she did say it was a fun game to watch overall.
That was what I heard from a lot of people, was that it was a grind. So it wasn't necessarily the best one to watch if you were looking for big plays and interesting up and down the field kind of stuff. This was a grind.
It was, yeah. It was a slog. It was your 3 yards in a cloud of dust, defense, field position. But not in a way that, like, if you enjoy that kind of football, it was not boring to watch. Like, it was a good, hard-fought game. And Seattle, like, they were just the better team. They were in Drake May's face all game long. Sam Darnold did just enough to get Seattle over the top. Kenneth Walker was special. You know, Seattle's biggest weapon, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who I thought would have a huge game, didn't do a whole heck of a lot. It was Cooper Kupp, the ageless guy, who had some big catches for them. And Njigba got kind of hurt and was on the concussion protocol for a bit during the game and all that. So the people that stepped up for Seattle were, you know, it was really core to see these other people that didn't really do everything that they had. You were hoping they'd be capable of all year. Like, you know, Cooper Kupp, older guy, but you got him for a reason. He didn't really show up all year for you, but when you needed him in the biggest game, he showed up. Kenneth Walker, I love him. I was hoping he'd have a bigger year overall as well. You know, couldn't really do it, but when Charbonnet wasn't there and you needed Walker, he was there for you. Like, the people that push Seattle over the top here, like, it was a total core team effort as a game, and that's fun to watch as a football fan.
So, as the not football fan, I have the really burning question. What was your Super Bowl food?
We kind of went a little different this year for Super Bowl food. Typically, you know, I'm a wings and steak kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I went quesadilla this time.
Interesting.
I felt like something different. I got quesadilla. We also did Taco Bell that day.
You had the Taco Bell. I remember that. I wasn't sure what you added to it. Yep,
the Taco Bell, I finished that later on the day, and then I made a quesadilla with some stuff we had at the house because the Taco Bell that we ate and reviewed in the morning got me in the mood for Mexican food.
Hell yeah.
So, it was good. But typically, I'm a wings and, you know, burger or something kind of guy for the Super Bowl, ribs, something just like that gets to you. But this time, you know, it was a little low-key, you know, which was a different kind of Super Bowl food-wise for me.
I won't lie, and this is confirmation for the Taco Bell episode we did afterwards. I did go back and get those fries again, and they were just as good the second time around.
Yeah,
those things are legit.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
that was a well done.
Steak and garlic fries with a football game, that does sound like a good time.
Yeah, it was. Finishing that, and I think I had maybe like a late night slice of pizza from Costco. It was just kind of like a chill day. You know, it was a very good Super Bowl. I enjoyed it. Like I said, as a Jet fan, Sam Darnold drafted by us, kind of got a bit of a raw deal. Adam Gase, the worst coach ever, among other worst things the Jets have had, ruined him. But the redemption arc is complete. He goes to Seattle after Minnesota lets him walk and takes Seattle to the Super Bowl. And, you know, he didn't win the game for him, but everybody thought if they were going to lose it, it would be because of him. And he certainly did not. He played well enough to win, and he deserved it. And I was happy to see that.
So it sounds like for at least a football fan, it was a good game.
Indeed, indeed. Yep, top marks. Good Super Bowl. Looking forward to next year. Halftime show was pretty cool, too. You know, not to get political. I speak Spanish. It doesn't bother me that the halftime show is in Spanish either. I get why people are like, whatever. But, like, did I understand any of it? Not really. Was it a total vibe? Absolutely.
What was it? It was Jimmy Kimmel who said, when Michael Jackson did the Super Bowl, he's doing his chamons and everything. And, like, you know what I mean? He's like, no one knows what that means. Is the music good? Is the show good? That's what matters. And the Super Bowl's definitely like gotten more spectacle for the halftime show each year it's gone on. Because, you know, back in the day, back in the 80s and 90s, it was just like performers on a stage and that was it.
Yeah.
But it's evolved. It's its own thing now.
They parade around like the local prize-winning sheep or something from the local fair or whatever,
you know,
down there in Green Bay.
I feel like we've lost something in our Super Bowl when I don't get to know who the prize-winning sheep is.
But I mean, like, to your point, Michael Jackson, the Super Bowl halftime show, was the first one that kind of propelled it to what it is known at today, 30-plus years later since then. But, like, and to your point, like, when he did his halftime show, he came up, he stood there for 5 minutes to let people cheer. He didn't move. People thought something was, like, no one knew
Michael
what was
Jackson.
Going on. He's taking it in.
You gotta take it in. And that's what we're doing. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, just taking it in after the Super Bowl. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, 2 yards in a cloud of dust. We'll see you in January again to talk more Super Bowl next year about this. Bye.
Plus, I mean, they'll see us for other podcasts throughout the year.
Well, before that, but football not coming back for a year, fam. I'm sorry.
See you all next time.